Genesis chapter 17 for the reading of the word of God and the preaching therein. The 17th chapter in the first book, the word of God. Moving our way through this passage of scripture. And let's look, if we could, at verse number 19. Matter of fact, let's go back to verse number 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, and all the men of his house born in his house and bought with money of the stranger were circumcised with him. Let the church say amen. Our Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with thy spirit. I pray that tonight would not just be the passing of time, but Lord, that we'll be fed, strengthened, motivated. And the Bible tells us in the book of Peter that you've given us divine power as to everything that pertains to life and godliness. We can be godly. And I pray, God, that the word would draw us closer to you tonight. Bind the forces of Satan that he may not hinder what the Holy Spirit is doing in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. As we arrive at chapter number 17 in the book of Genesis, we're dealing with the subject in this chapter, names matter. Names matter. Simply stating that in the Bible times, your name meant something. And in this chapter, not only did a name mean something, but a new name meant something. By the way, before I get preaching tonight, I'm glad that although I was shapen in iniquity and born in sin, that because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and his pure blood that was shed on Calvary, when I was regenerated by the Holy Ghost of God, adopted into the family of God, washed up my sins, justified as if I was never a sinner, my name was written down in the Lamb's book of life, and my new name does matter. Somebody say amen. When you get saved, you get a new name. And thank God that your past is put behind you and all things are become new. Before we get in the message tonight, thank God for the new name you have in Jesus Christ. Here in Genesis chapter 17, as Abram is moving forward, as God is dealing with him, we've come a long way from Genesis chapter 12 when God found him in the Ur of the Chaldees. And God has dealt with him from that day and brought him all the way up to this time. He's 99 years old. And the fact of the matter is, God has made a promise to him that he's going to multiply his seed. And yet the son that God's going to give him through Sarah has not come. And God shows up to Abraham at a certain time in his life when he was waiting on God and probably a little worried about whether or not God was going to come through. And God gave him a name that mattered about himself. I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. How many of you know that name matters? I'm God Almighty. I'm your sustainer. I'm your sufficient God. I'm your satisfier. I'm your enough. How many of you have learned by experience that God is enough? Amen. Sometimes circumstances distract our mind and sin causes us to go off on a detour, but it doesn't change the fact that God is always enough. So he gives them name number one, the name of the eternal sovereign, I am El Shaddai. But then beyond there, God not only gives Abram his name, but he gives Abram a new name. Name number one, El Shaddai, the eternal sovereign. Name number two, Abram goes to Abraham, represented an elevated servant. I'm taking you somewhere. I'm taking you somewhere. Listen, if you serve God, I guarantee you, he'll take you somewhere. He'll take you somewhere. If you're here tonight, I don't know where you are in your Christian life, but God wants to take you somewhere. God doesn't want 2018 to be a year of stagnation. God doesn't want 2018 to be a year where your growth is stymied. God doesn't want 2018 to be a year of stalemate. God wants some servants that are going somewhere. And at 99, he got a new name. It's never too late to do something for God. He got a new name. I'm going to change your name from Abram, which meant exalted father, if you would, high father, to Abraham, which means father of multitude. I like that Abraham he puts in there. It requires a breath to say his name, Abraham. And aren't you glad when God moves in on your life, the breath of God touches your life. And by the way, you always do more when you have the breath of God in your life. So I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to elevate you, my servant. Why? Abraham, names matter. El Shaddai, names matter. Last week we looked at the third name. Abram goes to Abraham. God is introduced as El Shaddai, and Sarai is moving to Sarah. Verse 25. God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. We're not exactly sure what Sarai means, but we know what Sarah means. It means princess. God said, I'm going to do something great in her life. And I'm going to do something great in her life so that I can continue to do something great in your life. Boy, every man in here tonight ought to thank God for equipping your spouse. Amen. And we thank the Lord for the spouses that come aside, the men of God and the servants of God. I'm going to equip her. I'm going to do something great through you, Abraham. But I'm going to do something great through you, Abraham, by doing something great through your wife too. Now look at the verse. Sarah shall her name be. That's a regal position. That's a position, a princess is in a kingly position. I'm going to give her a regal position. By the way, when you live for God, you are royalty. Amen. And by the way, royalty in God's kingdom does not equate to royalty in the world's economy. We don't base our riches based on the money in the bank or the cars in the garage. We base our riches on the unsearchable riches of God's grace. And if you're saved tonight, you're rich. Amen. You're saved tonight. You're rich. God, through his mercy, listen, Jesus became poor so that we, through him, could become rich. I'm glad that I'm rich in Christ. God said, I'm going to do something for her in a very special way. I'm going to do something for her. I'm going to give her a regal position, if you would. I'm going to give her a reproductive phenomenon, if you would. I'm going to bless her and I'm going to give her a son. Amen. Now, remember that Abraham is 99, Sarah is about 90 years old. And God said, I'll tell you, names matter. Amen. Amen. God said, when I give her a new name, that from that new name is going to come a phenomenon. She's going to have a child when other people her age can't have children. She's going to do something that only God can do through her. Well, that's why, listen to me. That's why you want God working in your life. Hey, listen, God opened up the womb of Sarah that no one else could open up. God opened up the womb of Sarah that Sarah couldn't open up herself. And wouldn't it be special if in 2018, God would open up some areas in our life that would begin to bear fruit that never have before. May God work a phenomenon. And I don't know, I'm excited about this new year, because as long as God is still on the throne, forget about all the detriments, forget about all the obstacles, and forget about all the battles. Yeah, they're real. Yeah, they're legitimate. Yeah, they're in our life. But God is on the throne. There's going to be a phenomenon done in her life, reproductive phenomenon. She's going to have the rearing privilege to be a mother. Isn't that a blessing, ladies? To be a mother. You single ladies in the building who don't have children or not married, y'all look forward to the divine privilege of being a mother. What a blessing. We said last week that the world has gotten that whack, huh? And they've turned the womb into a tomb. They've turned the Holy of Holies into a Holocaust. But just because legislation and tradition has shifted doesn't mean God does not value life. Amen. That doesn't mean that there's a lessened position for that of motherhood. Let me tell you something. Never downplay it. Never overlook it. Never belittle it. Listen to me. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. Happy is the man that hath this quiver full of them. Thank God for the privilege of being a mother. He's going to give her a royal posterity. Look at what he says. Kings shall come of her. Amen. And it was down through the line. Remember, Abraham was going to be the producer of the Jewish nation. And by the way, there is a book in our Bible called 1 Kings, 2 Kings. Amen. Those are all kings that are coming through the Jewish line, and they couldn't have come through that Jewish line unless God did something in Abraham and Sarah. Listen to me. You realize when we first saw these two folks, Abram and Sarai, they were down in the Ur of the Chaldees. God didn't find them when they were famous. God found them in obscurity. God didn't find them when they were popular. God found them in anonymity. He specializes in making nobody somebody's. Royal posterity. I want you to look beyond there at the rejoicing partner. This is Abraham's response to God's promise. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Now, first we look at this and think, boy, he was laughing because he thought that was a joke. But in actuality, this laughter of Abraham was different than we'll see Sarah's later. Abraham's laughter was not in disbelief. Abraham's laughter was in rejoicing. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, first of all, he never said a word of disbelief. He did say a word of awe. And second of all, God never condemned him or confronted him or reprimanded him like he did Sarah. And those are just observations by what is not in the text, but let's not just assume by what's not in the text that Abram didn't question God. Let's go to the text of the Word of God and see Abram's response to God's promise. Verse number 1 of Romans chapter 4, what shall we say then? That of Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. We know very clearly from the Word of God that Abraham believed God. The Bible tells us that he staggered not at the promise. In other words, he didn't doubt it. He didn't question it. He didn't wonder about it. So when you see Abraham laughing in Genesis chapter 17, it's a laughter of exuberance. Wow! Will God do this for me? Have you ever laughed in rejoicing to God? I have. I do it all the time. People wonder what's wrong with me. I just stand amazed at the grace of God. This was an astonished perspective. Wow, God's going to do this for me? Wow, God's going to do this in my wife's life? Wow, God's going to do a miracle for us? Hey, let me tell you something. The longer you live, and as long as you keep the perspective that God doesn't owe you anything, you'll stay astonished by God. The problem is he's calmed too many of our storms that we don't think it's a big deal anymore. He's answered too many of our prayers that we don't laugh and rejoice anymore. He's shown up too many times in our life we don't get happy about it anymore. He gives his presence to us in the house of God that we take it for granted all the more. Lord, let me tell you something. Every time God does something, we ought to be undeserved, rejoicing Christians, laughing at the goodness of God. The astonished perspective, the assured persuasion. He believed. Abraham believed God. The Bible is very clear about that. And then let me make a note here tonight that there was an anticipated person. What do you mean he believed? I mean he believed that God would give Sarah a son. But he also believed that through that son that God gave to Sarah, eventually another son would come. Somebody say amen. Who is that son you talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. You hear me now? I'm looking here at John chapter number 8. And I'm looking at Jesus talking about Abraham to the Jews. And the Jews thinking Jesus was crazy. Now look at verse number, don't look there, but write it down in your notes. You can look later. John chapter 8 verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Verse 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham? They were stuck on the law, weren't they? With Jesus standing right in front of them, which is dead, and the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. 55, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Jesus talking about the unity that he and his father had. Verse 56. Referring to Abraham thousands of years later. Look what Jesus said. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. 58, the Bible says in response to the Jews' question, thou art yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? What do you mean you've seen Abraham? Jesus responded, great passage of scripture, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Somebody say amen. Jesus said to the Jews, you caught up on Abraham. Let me tell you something, you can be caught up on Abraham, but Abraham was caught up on me. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Somebody said, what was he like? Laughing at, not just laughing at a 90-year-old woman having a baby, not just laughing at an old man being a father late in life, but laughing at the fact that through that boy Isaac would come the nation of Israel, and through Israel would come a Messiah whose name was Jesus. He saw Jesus die and was glad. What faith, rejoicing partner that Sarah had. And then I want you to notice, listening to this statement from God that he said to Abraham about Sarah. He says to her, Sarah shall be their her name. I'll bless her. I'll bring a son of her. She'll be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And then I want you to notice the responding plea of Abraham. Oh, he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you because I can. I'm El Shaddai. I'm going to bless you, make you the father of many nations. I'm going to bless you, make you the father of many nations by making your wife the mother of kings and royalty. I'm going to bless her with a child. And through that child, I'm going to have kings born of her. I'm going to do a great work. And Abraham thinks, well, what about Ishmael over here? This son of mine that I have already, that is a result of a union between Hagar and me that you weren't in on, God. But I love my son. And I love him so much that while you're talking about this great genealogy that will come from my family, from my wife, through my son that we haven't had yet, I hope you got something for him too. Names matter. The name of the eternal sovereign matters. How many of you know God's name matters? The name of the elevated servant mattered, Abram to Abraham. The name of the equipped spouse mattered, Sarai to Sarah. But there's also the name of the expected son. That's Isaac. It mattered. Amen. Notice what the Bible says about Isaac. The Bible says he was going to give her a child. Verse number 19. Sarai shall bear thee a son indeed. Don't you like that God doesn't just say things once in the Bible. He repeats them. Amen. Sometimes we're hard headed. Somebody say amen. He says, they're going to be an indubitable conception. Listen, I really am going to give her a child. And by the way, before you go thinking, why did God, she was 90. This is a big deal. Let's not overlook the miracles of God. God does miracles all the time, and sometimes we overlook them. Amen. We're so busy running away with how good it is that we forget who's good enough to give you something good. There's going to be an indubitable conception. She is going to conceive. There's going to be an instructed calling. I'm telling you what to name him. I told you my name. I told you your name. I told you her name. Now I'm telling you his name. Call him Isaac, whose name means laughter. There's an instructed calling of this boy. Why? He's going to bring joy. Amen. Boy, don't you love the blessings that God gives us that bring joy? Amen. Do you ever find yourself just basking in God's glory and going, boy, God, you're so good to me. God, you're so great to me. God, you're so gracious to me. By the way, we ought to look around us on a regular basis and think how many blessings God has brought in my life that bring joy. Amen. Don't just focus on negativity. Focus on the blessings of God. I want you to call his name Isaac, the indubitable conception. She will conceive. The instructed calling. Call his name Isaac, the included covenant. I will establish my covenant with him. Wow. God set him at work. It was God's way of saying to Abraham, I haven't forgot what I told you. I know it's been a while, but I haven't forgotten. How many of you know that a while with most people means they've forgotten? Amen. And sometimes they run into you, and the first thing they say is, oh, you know when you hear that, you know what that means? I forgot. Aren't you glad God doesn't forget? Somebody say amen. And along the way, he's saying to Abram, by the way, Abraham now, he only had to say it once. Abraham should have believed it when he said it once until God performed it. But it came along between the original statement and the actual performance of the blessing to remind him, I still got you. Amen. Now, some of you are on a path with the Lord right now. And sometimes we slow down when it's been a while since we've heard God's promise. I know what you said. I know you meant it. I know you're God. I know you can't lie, but it's been a while. It's taken a while. I'm getting discouraged. And yet God says to him, no. I'm not just telling you what to name him. I'm not just telling you what's going to come out of him. I'm not just telling you what the future holds for him. I'm reminding you, she will have a son. And let me tell you something. What God has for you is for you. She will. There's an instructed calling about him. His name is going to be included in the covenant. And the infinite continuance of this fella is not just about him, but an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. Well, I want to tell you something I love about God, that God knows how to keep things going. And if you're a parent in here tonight, you don't want just God to bless you. You want God to bless your seed. You want God to bless you. Listen, you don't want the truth of God to end with you. Somebody say amen. You want it to keep on going. And this was a covenant. By the way, listen to me now. We're early in the Bible. We think of the word covenant in our day, and we look back at all of the covenants in the Bible, and we think covenant is not that big of a deal because we've seen it so much in Scripture looking backwards. But we're only 17 chapters in the Word of God. This is not a colloquial word at this time. This is a new word. Listen to me. He says, you're entering into an agreement with Almighty God, listen to me. There are no risks of loss. There are no possibilities of failure. You'll never come out of a covenant with God and say, I knew I shouldn't have signed that line, because when God enters a covenant with you, he signs it himself. What a God. The infinite continuance. Names matter. Let me give you this thought tonight. Very quickly, two more thoughts. The name of God. He knew the Lord as the Lord, but in this chapter, he met the Lord with a new name, El Shaddai. He was known as Abram, but in this chapter, he received a new name, Abraham. His wife was Sarah. She'd been there for 90 years, but God was on the move. And at 90, she got a new name, Sarah. She's never had a baby, but God says she will. God reassures her that she will. Promises that She'll have a son, and through him, she'll be the mother of royalty. And she gives her son, he gives her son a name, Isaac, whose name means laughter. Why? Because names matter. But then there's Ishmael. He doesn't get a new name. Well, God introduces himself with a new name. God gives Abram a new name. God gives Sarai a new name. But God gives Isaac his name. But Ishmael is there. And since we're in a chapter of new names, why doesn't he get one? Because he represents the flesh. He represents man's attempt at progress outside of God. Notice, if you would, this passage gives us a favorable expression about Ishmael. God doesn't leave him out altogether. Amen. He doesn't make the child suffer for the parents' decisions altogether. But he does suffer some things for the parents' decision. Somebody said, that's not fair. Well, you let go of your child's hand when they about cross the street. And it's not your child's fault they got hit, but it doesn't change that they did. Come on. Abraham, Sarai, Abram, Sarai, and Hagar came together to help God be God. And it caused conflict. And the result was Ishmael. And by the way, if God were just operating on justice, he would have done nothing for Ishmael. But thank God for mercy. I said, thank God for mercy. And if you're not thanking God for mercy, then you're not thanking God for what's kept you here. It's of his mercy that we're not consumed. Amen. And I want you to notice what God said. I'm still going to bless him. I've heard thee. That's what that name means, Ishmael. I've heard thee. I blessed him. I'll make him fruitful. Yes, indeed. I'll give him fruitful production. Yes, I'll multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Yes, I'll give him fruitful production. I'll give him fame, power. And by the way, we know these the Arab nations that are the result of Ishmael. We know that they have become powerful, and they have multiplied. God did keep his promise. God did bless Ishmael, and thank God that even though sometimes we step outside of God's parameters, that in his mercy we can still get blessed. There was a favorable expression, but there was also a fateful exception. Fateful. And that means that although God did make great nations of Ishmael, he stood outside the covenant. It never, listen to me. If you want to go outside to get the outside God to get things done, then you're going to end up outside God's blessings when they come down. And I can't tell you how many Christian people, they want to move forward. And sometimes the decisions they make don't even appear to be wrong. But can I tell you, wrong has a relative definition. It's not just about the right and wrong of the absolutes that God has said in his word. It's also about the wrong that means anything outside of God's will. And we talked in James that our wrong is sometimes more specific than unsaved people's wrong, because our wrong takes on new definitions as we learn more. Therefore, to him that, somebody say amen, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Some of your members in this church, you got a longer wrong list than some people that aren't in a good church. Amen. Some of you grew up in a good Christian home. Your wrong list is longer than some of your school friends. Amen. God holds you at a higher level of accountability. Some of you going back to college, your wrong list is longer than some of those that are your classmates. You say, but we're all equal. No, 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 no. Therefore, to whom much is given, much shall be required. And so there's a wrong list. Yeah. Abram, Sarai, you knew better. I told you I was going to bless you. You couldn't wait on me, so you took matters in your own hand. And now you got a son that's coming, and you worry about the son you already had. But the problem is you got him the wrong way. Amen. You better be careful applauding stuff that looks like a blessing that came about by the wrong avenue. Amen. A lot of people be standing up praising God for blessing. They need to sit down sometime. Because sometimes they didn't get them from God. They got them on their own. And sometimes they feel real good and they sound real good and they smell real good and they look real good. And the people of God are saying amen to their amen. But you hang on a little bit longer, you're going to find out when the covenant blessings flow down, that supposed blessing is outside the covenant. You look at the New Testament and Ishmael represents that which is of flesh. Isaac represents that which is of spirit. And there's great practicality for us in the day. You cannot please God in the flesh. Amen. You can erupt an auditorium in applause after you sing in the flesh. But you can't have the anointing of God in the flesh. Amen. You can put together a good sermon in the flesh. But if you want the touch of God on your message, you better be in the spirit. You can pack an auditorium in the flesh. Amen. And write books about how to pack an auditorium. But you'll be at the judgment seat of Christ with no crowns, because that which is of the flesh cannot please God, and it will be burned up in wood, hay. And if the pastor's trying to help you tonight, he's trying to tell you there may be some things in your life that you want that are real good, but don't you ever go after real good things outside of the will of God. It ain't worth it. Now everybody's getting a new name in 17, but Ishmael. Because he got existence outside of the will of God. And be careful. You don't think this daddy was sincere? Oh, that Ishmael might live forever. Oh, that Ishmael. God had just told him how he was going to bless the son that wasn't even born yet. And he goes, what about that one? What about this 13-year-old son of mine that's over here? Oh, do you have room for him in the covenant? I'm going to take good care of him. But I can't covenant him in because you stepped outside of me to have him. Amen. I run into couples sometime that they want to live in sin and want the pastor to do some glorified wedding of a ceremony and just throw the bird seed spiritually and just celebrate sin. I've made some enemies of some good friends. Because I wouldn't do the wedding. And it had nothing to do about trying to hold a clamp over someone. It just, we don't celebrate sin. I said, we don't celebrate sin. Well, you say, Pastor, some folks sinning that you didn't know about weren't living together. God will deal with them too. I can't read everybody's business. But what I do know, I am responsible for. And if you're shacked up out there, we're certainly not going to have a little fancy sanctified wedding in here. Why? Because you got to answer to God. I tell people all the time, I've been commanded to preach. Doing weddings is a choice. I owe God preaching. I don't owe anybody weddings. That's just a favor I do because I've been licensed. And since I'm not commanded to do it and I'm doing it by choice, I reserve the right to set standards. It seems sometimes that the ones that are living furthest out of the will of God are the ones that appreciate it the least anyway. And you begin to realize they didn't want a church wedding because they live for God. Sometimes they want a church wedding to get God to bless foolishness. There's a price to pay for going outside of God to get good stuff and then want to get inside of God to bless bad stuff. Amen. Amen. I said amen. I love fried chicken, but I sure wouldn't go eat it out that dumpster. You hear me now? I'm saying I'm not going to dig through junk to get good stuff. And I'm all for marriage, but I'm not interested in one that erupts from a trash can. I didn't intend to say that, but the wind just blew through. Sometimes you just get caught. You hit one of them good golf balls, and boy, it's going straight, and all of a sudden that wind goes in. Once that ball get up in the wind, you can't determine where it goes. You pray when you go to church, Holy Ghost of God, I'm not praying that the wind don't blow through pastor. I'm just praying that the wind doesn't blow pastor my way. Say amen so we won't know if it did. I'm trying to close here. then I want to get out of this chapter so we can start fresh on chapter 18. I want to close with this, and I'll give you this thought: extreme surrender. The eternal sovereign was God introducing himself with a new name. The elevated servant was God changing Abram to Abraham. The equipped spouse was God changing Sarai to Sarah. The expected son was God giving Isaac the name that he would be called once he was born. The excluded seed was Ishmael, although favored, but fateful outside of the covenant. But we end this chapter with the extreme surrender. And this is Abram, now Abraham, showing how serious he was about God. What do you mean he was serious? I'm telling you how serious he was. He was serious enough to go get his 13-year-old son and circumcise him. And then all his servants, the servants born in this house, the servants bought as slaves, and the servants bought by somebody else that were given to him, circumcised. And then I tell you how serious he was. He was serious at 99 to get circumcised himself. Now, I'm not going to preach on circumcision, but I am going to tell you this. For a 99-year-old to go through that today is bad enough. And that day, without anesthetics and medicine and development, what's the big deal? I'm going to tell you something. Some of you squealing just thinking about it. I'm just going to keep it real. Amen. The Holy Ghost of God said to me studying today, how serious are you about obeying me? I meet Christian people say all the time, I love the Lord, I want to serve the Lord. Then you start dealing with them about particular areas of their life and say, well, you're a little too serious about that. You're a little too extreme. I don't think God really cares about all that. Start getting it all in my business, where I go and what I wear and what I do. Obedience is obedience. Yes, sir. That's right. You can't pick and choose how serious you are about God. That's right. You better thank God that 17 chapters into the Bible, Abraham was serious about obedience. Thank God he won a 21st century fundamental independent Baptist. We might not ever have these pages in scripture like we have them today. Now you show me an area of your life that God is dealing with you about that you'd obey if it weren't so extreme. And I tell you, it can't be as extreme as getting circumcised at 99. Immediate obedience. The Bible says the same day he went and got his 13-year-old. Said, come here, boy. Tell you something, you get extreme about obeying God. You do some things your kids don't want you to do. You take some things away. You cut some things off. You run some checks. And they won't like it. But you don't get your orders from them. You get your orders from him. And then those that are under your authority, they'll get mad with you sometime too. Because you'll start going, I got a word from the Lord. Everybody working for me, come in. Line up over there. And then you prove to them you're serious by not just making sure all of them obey, but by obeying yourself. Now, how in the world are you going to pastor a church and lead them in extreme obedience if you don't practice it yourself? So let me ask you, sir, how are you going to raise godly kids if you're not godly? And how in the world, ma'am, are you going to raise virtuous girls if you lack virtue? And how are you going to teach your younger siblings to love the Lord if they can't see you loving the Lord? Amen. Before you go sending people down to the doctor's office to get their vaccination, you better make sure you're willing to get yours. Extreme surrender. Why? Because names matter. Wait a minute. Abram, I'm going to make you Abraham. Sarah, I'm going to make you Sarah. And I'm going to give y'all Isaac. And I'm going to show you the results of having an Ishmael that wasn't in my plan. And I'm going to do it because I'm El Shaddai. Now, if all them names matter, then go do what I said. Because nobody has ever been used to do great things for God without being extreme. So I'm telling you, in the 21st century, with all this nonsense going on in the world, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what other churches are doing. I don't care what's become common. I don't care what's become popular. And I don't care what's become normal. You're going to serve God in any age or genre. You have to be willing to be extreme. You want a good marriage, you better be extreme. You want to raise good kids, you better be extreme. And if you've got a problem with extreme people, you've got a problem with Christianity. Because nobody ever pulled this God thing off without being extreme. Now, I wonder in 2018, how many, I ain't talking about blowing up abortion clinics and walking outside. I'm not talking about plastering your car with bumper stickers and looking like a nut quack. I'm talking about, listen to me, I'm talking about living a holy life in a wicked world. I'm talking about sanctification. I'm talking about looking like you know the Lord. I'm talking about confronting people with the gospel when it's not popular. I'm talking about raising your kids in the nurture and admonition of the, I'm talking about taking a stand when your blood relatives think you're crazy and your coworkers think you're off your rockers. But somebody's saying, I got a word from the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. If you won't, don't expect El Shaddai to rain down all these blessings on you. And certainly don't expect to be on the receiving end of a wonderful new name without the expectation of extreme surrender. Names matter. Our Father, help us. You're often leading us down extreme paths, and they're not easy. It wasn't easy for this old man to follow this new order from God. But it was essential. And you blessed him for it. Now help us. Help us, Lord, to be willing to be extreme for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.